Good morning. I love still being able to say that to a group of people at Holiday Park who, for a lot of years, at least in my experience and involvement, have been here and greeted each other as we always do out in the lobby and all the things that go on here before we actually start the service and then after the service. Just be family together. And that is, again, today, and the blessing should never be taken for granted. It should never be lost sight of, and it's incredible value, and I certainly value it highly. We watch as things change among us with the years that I've been here now. I don't remember how many it is, to tell you the truth. 30-something. I don't know. Lots of years. But so many changes have occurred. We've got people who were so beautiful and wonderful, and you see reminders of them everywhere. In fact, that podium right there, that little one, reminds us of a brother who's no longer here, who was as familiar and beloved and precious as any one of us in this assembly, part of our family, moved on to where the family will be assembling once you and I leave here, up in the realms that God has prepared a place. And there, to just continue to worship the same God, be together, know the fellowship that's ours. Those thoughts come across the mind more frequently when you advance on up a little bit and you realize the certainty of moving into that dimension sometime in the not that far seeable future. Good to be here. Good to be God's people. Good to have the opportunity just to do what God's people have always done. Encourage each other. Be there for each other. Have a kinship that goes deep. And where how you are and how I am matters one to the other. Just matters. It's important. It makes us who we are. It makes us God's people. And I rejoice in that with you here this morning. I want to lead us today in a thought that to me is precious indeed. Again, the same old theme that I've been on that I'll be on. I may do the duration on this. Who God is theme. It is what it's all about to me. And there is where the energy comes. There is where we are in class today as we're talking about really in the book of Psalms. Who He is. That is the one thing that has in it the power to uplift a life. To bring you closer to God. To work out all the difficulties in your life with a partner like God. With a helper like Him. It is where life is for the child of God. And I'm so glad to be that. If I had to put a theme title on today, who God is, He is someone who let my sin crucify Him. He let my sin crucify Him. I wonder sometimes if we give the focus to that is essential in our lives. Do we get to the point where we think of ourselves as more than that? I don't need anybody to be killed for my sins. I'm better than that. And if we do, we lose the center. We lose the energy. And no wonder then, from time to time, a Christian life flags. It flags because it doesn't see any necessary need that God can meet. I'll take care of it. If He'll just work out my finances, if He'll work out my bodily ailments, if He'll work out all these ordinary things that are problems for life, I'll be okay. If we lose sight of the fact that it cost Him so much for me to be able to stand in His presence as a child in good standing, that it produced the image of the cross, then if that stays there, we're okay. If that stays there, our faith is healthy and strong, and will uplift our lives. And if we lose that, we just lose sight of all. And that is Satan's job. Lose sight. Take him out here in this world. Watch all the world is clamoring. What's it clamoring about? What's important to it? What does it think is the most wonderful thing? If I just had this, or if I could just go to that, or if I could just be that. There's a whole volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica in quantity of things Satan holds for you to put your values in and think, if I can just get that, man, my life will be good. And it's an illusion. It is false. The older you get, the more you know it. You don't wonder. You don't have an opinion. You know it. It's just the case. How deeply impacted are you by a crucified Jesus, does it do anything? If you can look and say, well, you know, I don't know what, I'll say, what is Earl talking about? He's talking about the cross. Is it an impactful thing in your own summary of who you are and what's really important? It needs to be. If it isn't, my counsel, my advice, coming off the pages of His Word, work on it. Look at it afresh. Go there and see what it was all about and how it related to you. So it becomes important. Paul wrote to the old wayward Christians in Corinth. If my analysis is correct, and you had to go back, and you could go back in time to Bible time, and you picked a place to go where you could really see a point made relevant to Christians flagging in their faith, you'd go to Corinth. Go to the congregation of the church that was planted in Corinth and developed forward from those earliest days when many of the Corinthians heard and were baptized. Started there, and that congregation went forward from there to where it was, where it came to be. Paul wrote to them with the words you see on the screen, "When I came to you, brothers," and he went there, he'd been there, "I did not come with eloquence." I'm glad for this. I love this passage because I find consolation and comfort in it because of Earl's weaknesses and inabilities from right here. "I didn't come to you with eloquence. I was a great speaker. I just blew you out of your seats because I was so good at it." I didn't come that way, Paul said. "Or superior wisdom." Yeah, thank you, Paul. I'm glad that, you know, maybe there is something for people like myself who don't think that I am wise. The more I read, the more I realize I don't know. And the more I discover with mistakes in life that I made that I am not that wise. Thank you, Paul. Needed that. "I didn't come to you with eloquence, superior wisdom, as I proclaim to you the message about God." Okay? "For I resolved." That's a firm decision right there. "I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I was determined to know that. And that's what was on my mind when I was there and now as I write, to focus you on, you Corinthians and you people, you brothers here at Holiday Park. And Paul's still doing that. He wants us to focus on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It just gets better as a build up for preachers who have some kind of less than overblown idea of their own worth. Paul helps us out a lot. "I came to you in weakness, fear," Paul, "and much trembling." He's not lying here. This is not some kind of overstatement. He's just saying it like it is. "When I came, that was me, Paul the Apostle, much trembling. My message, my preaching were not with wise, persuasive words." I didn't go and train myself and expose. He was a well-educated man, obviously, but he didn't go with a focus of just being able to take words and do with them what nobody else could do. "That's not what I did," says Paul. But how did you come? Well, came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, not mine, God's Spirit's power. So that, here is the reason why. Here's why I said all this. Here's what I wanted it to result in. So that your faith might not rest on, be dependent upon, men's wisdom, but on God, on God's power. There's where your faith needed to be. Now, if there is a passage that has about it wisdom for congregations of the churches of Christ, this is it. This is it. We are so prone, I hear it, you know, I actually have had experiences when, and Mike and I get up here, I don't know if he has the experience that I do or not, but sometimes you think, Well, that wasn't too bad today. I think I may have got across it. It seemed to have interest. People were paying attention. And maybe somebody even nodded. And maybe when I'm going out, somebody said, that was a good sermon, Earl. And I'm a little uneasy with that because I don't want to get among this group that churches of Christ say, oh, have you heard Brother Johnson, whoever? He is magnificent. You just got to hear him. And you get the impression he's a lot better than old Paul, fear and trembling. In fact, he and Jesus are just up there eye to eye, you know, kind of like equals. We make that stupid mistake, and it never ought to be made. God would himself put us in a position not to make that. It's not good for the congregation, and it's not good for the pumped up guy that takes all this and says, yeah, I think I am pretty good. Not good. Paul just came because he wanted Christ. And whatever he puts in Scripture, he wanted Christ on the cross. Held up. Here's where it is. Here's what's special. Here's what has any meaning. Does it touch you guys at Holiday Park? Does this touch you inside? Move you? Or is it just a historical event? Don't get there. A lot of people were crucified. What is Jesus? It's not really that big a deal. And if that's the way you think, man, we need to go back and listen to the inspired words of our God again. So that my heart just looks. It says that was God's motivated action. He made this happen for me. Is that really true? Just he cared about me and all the other slobs like me who have sin problems. He did that for me. And let it move us. What moves us in our lives is self-trained in. I still have it. I just confess it. We're sitting, Jean and I, watching a baseball game the other night. And it is a good game. And I have a baseball background. And so with all that goes on inside of me, I've gotten into this blooming thing. Whatever I was reading has been set aside. And Russell Martin is up to bat. And I wanted to come out of my seat when the ball went into the stands. I have trained myself to be moved by knocking a silly ball over a fence. That's self-trained in right there. Don't let that get out of control, Earl, or you. If you do, then him who deserves first place, what moves you the most, gets kind of pushed down. And he insulted and demeaned and not nearly as appreciated as it's right that he be. How drawingly precious. Pulling you to him, moving you for whatever you're going to do and be when you go about your day, is the crucified Jesus. Paul's trying here in these words to the Corinthians hard. For their hearts were hard. Their hearts had been pummeled into almost being like numb people as far as this is concerned. They're more interested in fussing over this and that. Who baptized you? Well, I was baptized by Paul. I was baptized by Paul, which puts me up here ahead of you, buddy. And they were divided all over the place. You wronged me. You cheated me. And I'm taking you to court, buddy. I won't put up with that. And that was going on in Corinth among brothers and sisters in the congregation. And they had lost sight of this. They just lost sight of it. Value for who we are. Value for the fact that God put us together as his family. You ever stop and think that this group of people in this room, all of us, God had a hand in us being here? It wasn't just you. I think I'll go to Holiday Park. Circumstances around your life brought you to this place, and God has his hands hands-on in every life of His people on this earth. And so I maintain there are no accidents for people who love and follow God, who have any place for Him in their lives. He brought you here. What a precious thing that becomes then. I'm together with God, people God wanted to put together and call them His kids. Make them a congregation, a local little gathering family of His own people. That is so very special. Instead of just walking along as though as they did in Corinth, we can fight about everything in the book. We can even pick a fight with each other over the Holy Spirit and the gifts He gives. My gift's better than your gift. We can fight about almost anything, and they did. Paul's trying to work with them, refocus where they go with their attentions. To the Romans, God says, trying to work with them too, God shows His own love. That is an incredible Greek formation of thought right there. He could have just said, God shows His love. No, let me get these people so they can hear this deeper than that. God shows His own love. His. For who? Us. How? In this. While we were still sinners, Christ died. Christ was crucified for us. Working effort by communication to get through the numb, leather-covered hearts of people in there where they think, breathe, feel, understand, care. And He works at it with so many people. God tries very hard till this very hour to open our hearts, open our ability to see Him for who He is and appreciate His crucified Son's words are so precious. When read and heard, they need to be heard. Heard with your inner person, where you think, where things matter to you, with your own thoughts at work. Heard that way. And if I go, Jesus said, prepare a place, He's going. He went for you. A place for you. Oh, a place for all of us. No, bring it down to its focus. A place for you. I will come back. If I go, I'm going to come back. And I'll take you to be with Me. There are no more precious words ever spoken in the English language than that. They express the heart of Jesus. I want you where I am. So that. And He even, did you not get it, Earl? Well, let me add something to that sentence so maybe you will. So that. Here's why. I'll come back and take you to be with Me so that you also may be where I am. That's Jesus speaking. He wants me where He is. How does that compare with Russell Martin's home run? Not very well. Not very well. This is so much greater. Unless it just goes and I'm numb over and it doesn't get in here to where I moved. Come to Me. Jesus said, every single one of you who are laboring, you're tired, life's beating you down, you're weary and heavy laden. He doubles it up just so He can get through to how we think. You're tired and you're carrying a heavy load. Come to Me. Beautiful words. What'll happen, Lord? I will give you rest. That's a promise. He never breaks one. Never. It's to you. Hear it. Personally. Just between you and God. Then branch out and hear it for all of us, because we're all together in this and it's a wonderful place to be. Our God, His words still echo forth to us. Such pure, caring love is indeed attracting. It's an attracting thing. I'll share a story with you. A little girl on screen. How did she come through? Well, not too bad. That is Terry Wilkerson Dean at age 5. Something like nearly 45 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Still astounds me that that can be true. Terry, I don't have a picture of it because I was stupid at the time. I didn't have an awareness at the time of things that were absolutely valuable. Terry brought me, I'm in studying, we're living out on a big farm in Nashville, Tennessee that was owned by the elder where I'm preaching, and I've lived most of my life since I began preaching, going all out, trying my best to meet what's expected and what's needful, and I'm going to school at David Lipscomb College. I'm preaching there, and I am working for Williams Printing Company at night. Earl has no spare time, not even for his health. He has nothing to give other than what he's pouring out to get through these university days. I'm sitting at my old desk, working on something, a term paper, I think, that was useless. I don't even remember what it was about. But it had a deadline. I remember that. Had to be in. Terry. Walked in. She's carrying a little piece of paper. Brought it in. Hands it up to Earl. Dad. And I look at it and I say, "Well, that's nice, Terry. Tell me what this means." "It's me, Dad, hugging you." I look back at the paper. "Oh yeah, I think I see it now, Terry. Is that an arm?" "Yeah, Dad, that's me hugging you. It's clear as anything. Surely you can see." "Yeah. Thank you. That is great, Terry. You did a good job." She climbs up. Sits there. 5 or 10 minutes. Until she got down and walked away. If I hadn't been stupid, that little piece of paper would be on my wall today with the best frame I could have found. Still be there. It isn't. I'm sure it just got thrown in the trash. What an atrocity. Such precious love as that. Needs a response. It comes from deep in here. Appreciation. Value. Thanksgiving. And just time spent basking in the wonder and preciousness of it. I'm sure I gave a little, not nearly enough. Now I want us to try to see another drawing more precious than that. Another drawing. I want you to see it with your heart if you can. Jesus in John chapter 12 has just become aware. Jesus was fully human and fully God. He wasn't half human and half God. He was fully both and more fully human than any one of us. He has just been made aware by the circumstances. And go read John 12 as some Greek fellows come in and you'll discover the setting. That it is time. All that you came to this earth for, the time has arrived. It's here. And Jesus says to them, "The hour has come now for the Son of Man to receive great glory." You don't have to be a scholar to realize he's talking about the glory he will receive from the cross. The image that we saw earlier depicting, that's the glory. The time has come. It's here. Now. His dread. And this is filling out this new drawing that comes off the pages of God's Word. See the drawing. See what God is drawing for us here. with Jesus saying, "It's time." And there is, because he's fully human, a dread in him for what now lies immediately ahead. And he wants you and I, wants us to see it. And so he says, "Now my soul is troubled." Now, time word, psuche, that's the word used here. My inner self, the me in here, troubled. And what shall I say? Let the drawing fill itself out for you. Don't just let it be scribble like Terry's little drawing looked like. What shall I say? "Father, do not let this hour come upon me." Will I say that? I dread it. It's trouble. But the next thought, "That's why I came here. So that I might go through this hour of suffering. That's why I'm here. Father, let's do it. Bring glory to your name. Let's roll." And that's a picture. That's a drawing. Shared with you by Jesus Christ. Fully man, fully God. Shared. Beautiful. And so, good news for you and me is carried out by what so troubled Jesus. I've probably used this slide before. Jim puts up slides sometimes when we lead songs about Jesus. And they're not efforts to say anything other than we need to have the drawing of what Jesus is trying to say filled out for us in our time in a way that wells it in there, engraves it in there, lets it happen with us. We see it with our minds by a drawing, a photo, a picture. We see it and let it move us as it needs to do. 6 hours. The blood price for Jesus to bring this picture of him and his heart to you and me is underway. It's going on. For 6 hours, payment is being made for what he wants to do for you so that you can be with him where he is. You can't go there with your sins. They've got to be paid for. There's got to be redemption payment made. And so he just says, "I'll make it." And so the drawing is filling out by the words and by the preachers who attempt to put the words crossed with power, an image. He bore our sins and his body on the tree. That either works in you and says, "Wow, I can't believe this is reality. It's what life is. It's not about all this junk that Satan has you get into, the things of this world. Don't love them." The Father Jesus says, "If you love the world, you won't love me." Don't get into all these things to where you're numbed out and can't be touched inside by this picture, this drawing. "I bore your sins in my body on the cross." Can you see it all? Do you see Jesus drawing, God's drawing for us, that which can dedicate us to him, cause us to be consecrated by our own wills and committed to him more deeply than ever before? Can we see that? So many others of these, it's like seeing that picture. I am more touched by seeing that picture in my mind and heart today than I probably was on that scene in Nashville, Tennessee long ago. I'm changed. I'm not like I was. If Satan can lock you down to where you never see the more precious image of Jesus, then he'll keep you there and you'll never see it. Die as a zombie, never having seen that which could have touched your heart and pulled you to him, attracted you to him. Jesus' blood-sprinkled drawing depicts you and Him together forever. Let it touch. Let it work. We've tried to look at it with word pictures here today. One last thought. And I say this. I love sermons to be positive all the way and only positively moving. But Scripture doesn't quite do that, and so I don't dare either. What about the person who has sat here today? This doesn't do anything for me. I'll just wait and try to wonder when lunch is going to happen. What I'm going to do to have some fun today. How hopelessly miserable are those who, after seeing God's effort to put a drawing in front of you to touch your heart, go away untouched. How hopelessly miserable are those who crucify the Son of God afresh by the way they handle their lives. Crucify Him afresh. Just do it again. Who cares? I'm crucified by my attitude toward it. And He speaks to that. It's impossible to renew to repentance. Repentance is a change inside you made by a message, by something that happened, by a little girl, five-year-old bringing a picture to you of her hugging you, and you're just touched. Or you're not. Or Jesus bringing an even more potent picture of Him dying for you. 6 hours of it. It's impossible to renew to repentance. Repentance means you're a different person. You've changed. Your whole inside is not the same as it was. I now love Him. I see what He did for me. I want to be as near Him, and I want to be with Him forever. I want to take Him up on His offer that I can go be with Him forever. It's impossible to renew repentance. Those who were once enlightened, they heard it, and they just glossed it over. It doesn't mean anything to me. They tasted the heavenly gift. The heavenly gift is a gift from heaven. That was Jesus. They tasted it. They got there. They saw it. And they saw what the world had. They just brushed aside and took the world. They became companions with the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when you become a Christian. He moves inside, indwells you, lives with you as your partner. Tasted the goodness of God's Word. All that you came to. And the powers of the age to come. You looked at the age to come. Jesus helped you. But who have turned away, fallen away, because to their own harm they are crucifying the Son of God and holding Him up to open shame. Don't let that be you. That explains eternal hell. Why is there hell? There it is. That explains it. This much debated passage. This passage is debated all the time. Is this the unforgivable sin? I thought there was only one. All kind of stupid debate goes on in books and everywhere else. But one thing is clear. You don't want to be among those folk in this passage. Those who were once enlightened and turned their back on God. Turn their back on Jesus while He's holding up His drawing of how much He loved you on the cross. So how could we crucify Him afresh? Last thought. There's a myriad of countless ways. Just push Him out of your time. Don't have time for it. And you crucify Him afresh. Just neglect the things that you know are precious to Him. Being here today is precious to Jesus. He loves it that people came here to praise Him, worship Him, kiss toward Him, proskuneo, worship today. Just push it out. Don't let it happen. And other programs that go on, other efforts that are made to come and look into His Word, like Wednesday night, has been pathetic in attendance lately. Pathetic. What does that say? I don't know. I am not wise enough to put any kind of description on that. But is that just finding things that are more important than God speaking to human beings, His own children, through His Word? I don't know. It's got to be pretty important to be bigger than that. Pretty important. And so if I make something bigger than that, I just crucify Him afresh. Doesn't mean anything to me. Saw your drawing, no big deal. All you have to do is just love and go after anything this world presents to His neglect. And you can crucify Him afresh. Don't let that be you. If today, as we've looked at this, you've seen the drawing. You've seen how precious the drawing that Jesus brought and showed you is. You can't walk away without being a little changed. Making some decisions you used to make one way, another way, different for Him. Not for an eloquent preacher, not for a great teacher who's good at what he does, but for Him. And watch that change your life. Watch it change your values. Watch it change how much clearer you see about what really matters to you in life, and how clearer friend Jesus becomes as He draws near to you and you to Him by decisions made. Need to come as we stand and sing? Now's the time.